Hey guys, I want to invite you to the Liturgy of the Land Conference on December 13th and 14th. Go to liturgyoftheland.com for more information, but I want to invite you to join us for a 2 days discussion, discernment, and community with a phenomenal lineup of experienced homesteaders, farmers, and craftsmen. Dave and Lady Pamela will be there, Lady Haley and I will be there, and we'd love to have you guys there as well. Go to liturgyoftheland.com. There's already 60% of the tickets have been sold, so they're going very, very fast. But Sean and Beth Doherty is going to be there, Brandon Shear, Jason Craig, Tom Gallagher from Tan Books, Alan Harrelson, who's been on our show, Pipe Cottage, Thomas Van Horn, who's the owner of Ambrosian Candle Company, who also provided us with candles for a lot of our patrons, Dr. Jared Stout from Exodus 90. There's going to be a whole host of different people there. We'd love to have you guys go. Go to liturgyoftheland.com for more information. You know what I noticed today? Actually, it was yesterday.
What?
So we live in Porter, Oklahoma now.
You just noticed?
No, this is part of the story.
Oh, okay, sorry. This that's not the thing.
That's not the thing.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Porter, it is the Oklahoma capital of peaches, but the population of Porter is 627 as of last year. The Minahan family is 7 people. That means that we are over 1%,
more than 1%
of the population of the town in which
legit,
I live now.
Legit.
So, I'm not saying we're a swing home, but
I wonder if there's
in
a
the
rule
in voting. Like we're kind of a swing home.
I wonder if there's a rule that says like if the population of a town changes by a certain percentage, that you can like force them to update the sign. Like, hey,
yeah,
1% change.
That's pretty substantial.
That's like sevens of people.
Right.
You know, and so I think they should update the sign.
You should
call them and demand.
And maybe even say new home of
the Minahan family.
Yeah.
I think so.
Isn't that funny that he'd win?
If I was mayor of Porter,
like
I would do
which
it.
I plan on running someday if you have listened to our show.
Do you really?
Do you remember that? Do you remember I was talking about this?
No. I don't really remember many of the things you say.
You're such a good friend.
Yeah.
I found that like hilarious that we moved into a town and we are now over 1% of the population.
I feel like Porter swings pretty far for like being 600 and something people. Like everybody knows Porter because of the peaches.
The peaches. Yeah.
Really everybody knows the peaches.
Right.
And they go there. I mean, they do have good peaches. That's the thing.
Delicious.
Yeah. If you're in Oklahoma, you want a good peach. Just swing on by Adam's place.
Yeah.
And then keep driving a little ways.
We even have a peach tree at our house that won't be producing fruit for 3 years, but
when I have 2 peach trees in my yard that also have not done anything. This will be their 3rd year this next summer. But when I bought them, I asked the dude at the nursery, I said, "What kind of peach trees they got out in Porter?" And he said, "These." Turns out they have a lot of different kind of peach trees out in Porter. Mm-hmm. So he was going to be right kind of no matter what he said. I felt so good about buying those peach trees. I was like, oh, yes.
Porter peaches.
I got
coming to Broken Arrow, baby.
I got the secret sauce. Secret sauce of peach trees.
But you don't.
Yeah. You can't keep it to yourself anymore, Porter.
So is there like, you know, anything new going on?
We did something really fun. Yeah, this last weekend. I can't really take any credit for this. Our buddy Deacon J. Thomas, he called me and organized this. He said, hey.
I can't believe this is what you're going with.
It was a lot of fun. We had a good time.
Yeah, of course.
He's like, do you mind if we have a fire at your house? to burn, this is what he said, to burn bad books, distasteful vestments, and some sacramentals. And I was like, you had me at bad books. So the RSMs, the Religious Sisters of Mercy here in Tulsa, who are wonderful, just a fantastic.
Beautiful ladies.
Group of ladies, women here. They came over. We actually didn't
Sister
have.
Sister Mary Hanna came?
Yeah. Sister Mary Hanna came, yeah. Who's a phenomenal singer.
I hate that I missed that.
Yeah. She was here. There were four of them. So a couple of them were under the weather a little bit, but it ended up just being the Thomases, us, and the sisters. So we had a really great time. My daughters were all excited because basically they were going to get the sisters all to themselves.
Right.
You know.
I have 3,000 questions to ask. Yes. You.
Oh my gosh. They did. One point came over. One of my daughters was like, "Okay, how old are you?" And they're like, "I'm 42." And how old are you? maybe why don't you come up with some better. Remember we had
How much do you weigh?
Yeah. Yes, exactly.
And how much do you make before taxes?
Right. What size shoes do you wear?
Yeah.
We had prepped. These are some good things
to ask them.
To ask.
To talk about.
Not they weren't going through any of those.
No.
It was how old are you?
Yeah.
Which, you know, it might be hard in a habit, like I can't. Can't see your hair, you know. There's a lot of I can't see.
Mm-hmm.
How old are you?
Mm-hmm.
Are you like young or are you old?
Right.
Anyway, we did have a great time. Also, I had a son.
Yeah, that's what I thought you were gonna say first. You know, like you had like a baby.
Yeah.
And you went with the first thing you went with us.
We
burned some books.
What happened over the last? Oh man, well let me tell you.
We burned some books.
First thing that comes to mind was we had a book burning. Okay. Oh, yeah. We actually did burn some books, but they weren't bad books. There was a Bible that the cover had been ripped off, you know.
But some bad vestments.
But yes, I have a son, another son. Barry David Jr. has been so stoked. He's already got it figured out. Like he's going to teach Joseph Stanley is our youngest
son. Stanley from Stanley.
Stanley Rother. Also, Stanley is my great grandfather's name. So you know, it's a
double.
It is a family name. But my kids, they feel like it's important to tell people when we tell them the name of our son that we didn't name him after my place of work.
Okay.
Because I work at Morgan Stanley. And they think that I need to tell you that because otherwise you might think
like
that we named him after dad's work.
Yeah.
We didn't name him after dad's work. I did though, my manager at the office, his name is Stanley. And I went in and I was like, Stanley, you know, we had a boy. I just wanted to let you know, you've only been the manager here a short time, but I've been really impressed. I really look up to you. And so I wanted you to know we named our son after you, Joseph Stanley. And he's like, get out of here. He's like, you and the company, you know, just like just this. Like, oh, I just wanted, like, I'm all in. I just want you to know.
Well, we've already locked in 90 for the middle name of Verdix Boy.
Did you?
Yeah, 90.
Okay.
After dad's
Exodus.
Work.
Yeah, after dad's work. Yeah. You could have gone with like Exodus.
No, 90.
Even Moses. Dude, I have been trying to get you to name a son. You've got all these boys.
Yeah.
Like Moses Minahan. Like, you can't tell me that guy's not going to be famous.
I don't want him to be famous.
Well, he could be famous for good reasons.
Like, famous, like, if you could be rich or famous, which one would you want?
Rich.
Absolutely, rich.
Totally.
Like, it's not even a question. Like, I don't want to, if you're famous, you don't get to do anything anymore.
I mean, although if you're famous, you can do the most stuff. If the more notoriety you have, the more influence, you know, like most. About Moses, okay? Since we're talking actually about Moses.
Yeah.
Like,
well, we weren't, but
super famous dude. Well, I'm talking, you know, about you naming a son, Moses Minahan. Like his fame, you know, it's like his leadership. People aren't going to follow you if they don't, you know, they're not following Moses if he's not Moses, you know what I mean? So, like, you can be famous in a good way.
Yeah, but if you have money, you could just become famous.
Yeah. Yeah, you could just be like the Kardashians and like,
well, I don't
they're
know.
Just kind of famous for being famous, though.
I don't know. Yeah.
I don't know about that. I mean, that's not good. I wouldn't want that.
No, I wouldn't want that at all.
But clearly I choose money over fame.
Yeah.
Although they're the same. If you're famous, you can get money. And if you got money, you're probably famous.
Or you could be, at least. There's a lot of people that are very rich. We
but
have no idea.
I think you should name the next son you have.
If we have another child.
If you have another child.
Which will clearly be a boy.
Yeah. I mean, you could use another girl, though. Anna could really use...
But Anna's so, like, old now. Like, getting older now.
It's okay.
It's like, she's not going to, you know, she's six. No, she's seven. You know, so by the time even the kid would be like to play with, like, it's
still
the age gap.
Still, as an adult, she would have an adult sister.
All right.
You know, yeah. For the rest of your life. It's not just about being a kid.
That's true.
You know.
They do actually get older.
Yeah. So like my sisters, they talk like every day.
So do my sisters. It's so weird.
And they call, do you call your mom like every day?
Not every day.
No, of course not. Of course not, because you're a man.
I have things to do.
Yeah, exactly. My sisters, and I've talked to a lot of women, I'm not saying this is true for all women, but my sisters, they call my mom every day. And if she doesn't answer, they call each other to talk about how, like, hey, mom didn't answer. What's going on? It's. I would be so upset if my siblings were calling me
every
to
day.
Tell me that they called mom
and she didn't
and
answer.
She didn't answer.
Yeah, that is interesting.
It's just totally different thing. So, but anyway, adult sisters apparently still fun to talk to on the phone all the time.
Which is very interesting with my sisters. They used to, growing up, did not see eye to eye in a lot of things. They were very combative against one another,
mm-hmm.
and now are like best friends.
Yeah.
It's really weird.
Yeah, so Anna having a sister
would be good.
Yeah, it'd still be good.
Life is good.
It is. But if you have another boy, I really want you to reconsider, because this is not the first time I brought this up.
Mm-mm.
Moses Minahan.
Yeah. Maybe so.
Moses Merlin Minahan. Yes.
What if I actually did David Philip Minahan?
I'm in. Obviously, I'm the godfather at that point.
Yeah.
Okay. No going back.
David Juan Minahan. We are back.
Adam, I don't know about you, but I am getting tired of giving my hard-earned money to companies that are paying for things like abortions and worse.
I know, man. The stuff that they're teaching our kids in school, that anti-Catholic bigotry, it's getting crazy what they're pushing on them. I really just would like to spend money without having to worry about supporting these type of people.
You know, that's where Catholic Owned comes in. Finally, we have a way to shop with businesses that share all of our values.
Wait, hold on. What exactly is Catholic Owned?
Oh, it's the app to find tons of authentically Catholic-owned businesses from across the country and finally feel good about where your money goes. They've got national and local companies, goods and services, and they're adding more every day.
Man, I gotta check this out. Where can I find them?
You can download the free Catholic-owned app today and join us in building the new Catholic economy. Just use referral code CATHOLICMAN at sign up. Welcome back to the Catholic Man Show. I'm David Niles, here with Adam Minahan. So, like, I had a baby. What'd you do?
Not have a baby.
What have you done?
I've been drinking this scotch.
Dude, we didn't mention that.
Laphroaig.
We're drinking a Laphroaig, a new one.
Oak Select.
For the show.
Yeah, Cask Collector. Oak Select. So we've had Oak Select before, but this is a cask collector.
What does
version.
That mean?
I'm a cask collection. So I'm assuming it's a specific...
It would be a lot cooler if they would actually give you the cask. Like that... It would
be a lot more expensive, too.
Yeah, but that would be
So this is
a
the most laid-back expression of Laphroaig.
I agree with that. I definitely agree with that. It's still super good.
It's the most laid-back expression... Their master blender creates this Lafroy by selecting five different casks across a range of ages. They are married together to reach a mellow balance of flavors that opens up the world of Lafroy for every drinker. The flavor profile is a subtle blending of peat reek, glowing embers of oak, and lasting sweetness. I do not think there's any sweetness to this.
I do.
I don't think there's any, like, I don't taste any sweetness, but it's very mellow.
Now convince yourself that there is and try it again. See?
Power of persuasion.
See?
Man, that is so sweet.
Yeah.
Wow, gosh, it's almost too sweet.
Yeah.
Skittles.
Yeah, so I think this one reminds me more of Lagavulin. Like, it's just a little bit, has more balance. It's just not like peat,
mm-hmm.
like, in your face. Which I have no problem with peat in your face. It just reminds this, so it just reminds me more of a balanced peat smoke of like what you get with a Lagavulin.
Mm-hmm.
It's fantastic.
Yeah, I really like it.
Is this a temporary release?
I don't know if it's temporary, but it's a newer release because I haven't I'd never seen it before.
Yeah.
So anyway, it's good.
Well, very cool. Thank you for picking it up today.
Yeah.
It is very good. So I wanted to talk about Our Lady of Guadalupe.
Yeah, her feast day is
Her feast day is coming up in December.
She's the patron of Americas.
She's the patron of the Americas and the unborn.
And the unborn. It's interesting, Americas, like that, who made that decision?
I think it was Pope John Paul II. Was it Pope John Paul II?
I don't know. I honestly don't know. I just think it's interesting is like, yeah,
it's definitely a pope.
These people over here, you know, this whole Western hemisphere.
Yeah,
basically.
I mean, yeah, do other hemispheres get a saint?
I don't know.
Is there a Our Lady for them?
I don't know.
Because we have Mary,
which is the best.
And it's like, top that. And then there's like, and for Europe, it's the Sacred Heart of Jesus. And it's like, well, okay.
Well, Mary's still really cool. Yeah. Yeah. I think that's interesting. Yeah. Our Lady Guadalupe feast day is the 12th.
The 12th, December 12th.
Yeah.
You know, there are like a handful of what I think of as the gold standard of Marian apparitions. You know, Our Lady of Lourdes obviously is a big one. And it's so interesting.
What about Fatima?
Fatima, yeah.
What about Akita?
I don't put that one. Obviously, Medjugorje is not on the list.
No.
Dude,
by the way, Jimmy Akin right now in his podcast, Jimmy Akin's Mysterious World, he's going through right now Medjugorje. It's a 3-part series.
Is he ripping it up?
No, I haven't really actually listened to it. Or I've listened to some of it, but not all of it. Because it's a 3-part series, and like one is about the actual apparitions, and then one's like what the church says, and then like the next one.
I think you have to parse it all out, because there's good stuff at Medjugorje. And obviously, there's millions of people who have gone there and had profound religious experiences.
Separates those two things between the apparition and the fruits.
Yeah.
These are two different things.
Yeah, and praise God that's happening.
Right.
God works, you know.
But
God,
anyway, you should go check it out.
You crack the door for Jesus, he'll bust that door. He'll take his Jesus sandal and he'll just bust it open.
Yeah, he'll put it.
If you crack it,
he'll put his foot in there. Yeah. So, the next episode that'll probably be dropping by the time this episode drops
of Jimmy Akin.
Yeah, is his opinion.
Whoa.
Right, which is interesting. Right.
Yeah, because Jimmy, he does give opinions sometimes, but
he typically gives facts.
But typically, he's like, yeah.
So like analytical. The first was like what Medjugorje is. The second one is like what the church has said about it.
Mm-hmm.
And then the third one's going to be like, what does Jimmy Akin say?
My opinion is I agree with the bishops. That's it. I agree with the church.
Yeah. Which is always safe.
But, you know, Jimmy does that. He's like, if this is what the church says, that's what I'm at. That's where I'm at.
Samesies.
Yeah. Put me on that camp too.
Yeah.
So what I like to see, one of the things I appreciate when you look at these different Marian apparitions is the way she comes to the people who are there.
Okay.
Right? every time she comes, it's her message and like her physical appearance even is so customized for the people there, right? Yeah. And it's, I just think that that's a very beautiful thing to ponder. Mm-hmm. About just, you know, Christ sending her out to really be the mother of all people.
Right.
Okay, she really is the mother of the universal church, yeah. And that she is the mother for all of us, okay?
Right.
Not just for some people. Because she, you know, she, here, which we'll get into in Our Lady of Guadalupe, she actually comes in the appearance of a native Aztec or a native Mexican here. And so I just wanted to point that out in the beginning, that Our Lady of Guadalupe is clearly one of the gold standard Marian apparitions throughout history. And she really came specifically for the Americas, right? The people, mm-hmm. people here. So
and helped basically start one of my favorite religious orders.
What is that?
The Dominicans.
Oh, she helped start the Dominicans?
Well, I mean, Dominic.
I mean, yeah. Like, so, I don't know the whole story behind this, but Our Lady of Guadalupe is actually not the first Our Lady of Guadalupe. So, there's like a... Guadalupe, Mexico was named after Guadalupe, Spain. And there was this already whole other thing about like Our Lady, like a miraculous statue something.
Maybe I'm getting confused. Like, I thought St. Dominic, didn't he have like this devotion to Our Lady? No. I think I'm confused there. I apologize. That was a mishap there.
All right, no big deal. Yeah.
But
anyway, so it was named after this.
I still like the Dominicans.
Yeah, also, yeah, the Dominicans are totally, they're awesome.
Right.
But there was another like Our Lady of Guadalupe in quotes in Spain that this Our Lady, this Guadalupe was actually named after.
Hmm.
Yeah. So and fun fact, one of the very first replicas of the image of Our Lady of Guadalupe was present on one of the ships at the Battle of Lepanto.
No kidding? Yeah. I did not know this.
Yes. So
that's awesome.
This like new devotion, this Marian apparition spreading, you know, like people were trying to take it back to Europe and was there. Like there were, at the Battle of Lepanto, they had like sacred articles on the ships with them. Whether like large crucifixes or whatever. So on one of the ships, they had like this picture of Our Lady of Guadalupe. So she was there at the Battle of Lepanto when the whole battle was dedicated to praying the rosary.
And to the Holy Name of Mary.
Yes.
The thing that I love about her apparitions when she comes, and I think one of the things, the telling factors in which is it an authentic apparition or not, and the thread is easily seen throughout all the different Marian apparitions, right? Is that she comes back and she asks the people to repent and to pray, right? And to
penance.
It's pray.
Basically the same message.
Same message over
every
and over
time,
again.
And it doesn't change,
right? And she talks about how much her love, the love of the Son, like has for them, and to repent. And to do penance for those who don't know him, and for all the sinners of the world, and to like, you know, to fervently be praying.
Mm-hmm. One thing that I love is people who have been the ones receiving apparitions of Our Lady universally will say that she is the most beautiful, like incomprehensibly gorgeous. Like she is this beauty beyond anything that you could describe, you know? Mm-hmm. I just really love that, and I don't think that means that she actually was like objectively, if you were to like, it feels wrong to say it, but it's not like she's the hottest woman that ever walked the planet, right? I don't think that's what it means. I think that she just has this perfection and beauty that...
Well, virtue is beautiful.
It is, yeah, yeah.
And when you perfect the virtue...
But you do, it's like, yes, there's just something about it that like her being this beautiful woman... It's like, of course she is, right? Even though she's perfect in humility, she still is just this beautiful, beautiful mother. So we just have a couple seconds here, but I want to get on the other side of the break, start talking about just a little bit about the setup for the apparition of Our Lady of Guadalupe, and then get into some of the symbolism in the actual image itself, which is very, very beautiful, and some of the other miraculous things that have been more recently discovered in the image.
More recent as in 19th century or
maybe 20th century, late 19th century.
Very recent.
Very recent. We'll be right back. Hey guys,
Men, do you feel stuck in old idols or burdened by the pharaohs of our time? Do you know that you're capable of so much more than you are giving today? Exodus 90 is the number one freedom app to help you become the man you were created to be. Exodus 90 is a powerful 90-day journey to freedom in Jesus Christ, and it starts on January 20th. Download the Exodus 90 app today to join tens of thousands of men from all around the world. We begin January 20th. Join us.
A great way to spend next year, a Jubilee year, is to join us in Italy for a pilgrimage.
On a pilgrimage.
Listen, because here's the deal.
Walk through the holy doors of Rome.
And like, with a pilgrimage with us, you know you're going to have fun. Like, it's going to be serious. We're going to, you know, we're going to take all the spiritual aspects very seriously. But we're also going to have fun.
Totally.
And
I mean, I'm going to have fun.
Yeah, same here. Same. And Lady Pamela and Lady Haley are going to be there as well. Yeah. Jimbo Baggins and Kathy, his wife, is going to be there. So we got a good lineup going.
So you'll feel safe. Because we'll have Jimbo,
we'll have the bodyguard. Yeah, we'll have the bodyguard there with us.
A lot of the safety that Jim provides is that, like, if something is happening, everybody can outrun him. Okay, so he's like a human shield.
That's true. Also, hey, listen, our Christmas cookies are going to be sent out here pretty soon to our Patreon members.
I'm thinking about signing up under pseudo names on just Patreon, like four or five times,
just to
get more cookies.
Yeah, so Dizzy Lizzie Cupcakery provides us with cookies for all of our patrons. So it's just another reason why if you enjoy the show to support us by going to patreon.com/thecatholicmainshow. Most people don't understand. They think like all you have to do is just have a computer and microphones and you just have the podcast. It's like, but there's actually a lot of costs that you incur over the years. And so, like, you know, the support that our patrons have.
Oh, man. If we didn't have the patrons, we probably still wouldn't be around.
Well, we'd be in the red for sure.
We'd have, like, creditors and stuff.
Yeah, we'd be... Our credit score would not be good.
I declare bankruptcy! Like,
yes.
How bad is bankruptcy?
Yeah. I know. So, grateful for you guys' support. And now's a good time to sign up, so that way you can cash in on the most delicious cookies that you'll receive.
You can also give as Christmas gifts. If you want to, like, you can buy a year's subscription or a year's, like, Patreon
and just
support,
like,
for a person.
Yeah. So
yeah, we will help you facilitate that if you want.
Sure. So we're talking about Our Lady of Guadalupe.
Our Lady of Guadalupe. So there was this dude, his name is Juan Diego.
Juan Diego.
Yeah. He was like there in Mexico.
Another reason why I love Juan Diego is like he was just a simple man.
He was a simple man. In fact, he started the Dominicans.
No.
No, he did not. I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
But he was a convert to Christianity. The Spanish had come. The Spanish were sending all of these missionaries, and they were making progress, but they weren't having like the big success that they wanted, okay? Because at the time, these Aztecs people, they were very pagan. They worshipped the sun god. They worshipped many gods. One of them was they thought that the sun god had to be appeased. And if you've seen the movie, I forget the movie where they... It's by the guy who made The Passion. What's his name? I'm blanking on his name, too.
His name is Mel Gibson.
Mel Gibson, that guy. He also made another movie where they are doing this. They cut your heart out and offer it to the sun god to appease the sun. That's what they believed. And anyway, so just a very pagan, very religious culture. So it was hard to make way for the Christian.
Be hard to make straight the way.
Yeah. Anyway, Juan Diego, he was a convert. One day he was walking by, and this woman appeared to him on this hill, Tepeyac Hill, asking him to have a chapel built. He goes to the bishop. The bishop's like, well, I need some proof that, you know, Mary is really speaking to you. Go pick some roses.
Which is very prudent of the bishop.
I think it is.
Right? Like, I feel like that there are people who say, oh, I have an apparition. You know, it's like, yeah, okay, I need some proof.
Yeah.
St. Paul, test all things.
Test all things. I mean, often Satan himself comes as impersonating an angel of light. Right, so yeah, all things should be tested. I agree. It was the prudent thing for the bishop,
absolutely,
to come and ask for more confirmation here. And so anyway, these roses in the middle of winter, roses miraculously are growing on this Tepeyac Hill where Our Lady wanted the chapel to be built. So Juan Diego picks them, goes, and he's holding them in his tilma.
What's a tilma?
It was like a cloak.
Okay.
It was made out of plant fiber. It was, you know, what was very common in that area at the time. And goes to drop all the roses on the ground, and then all of a sudden in the tilma is this image. It was a miraculous image of Our Lady of Guadalupe, okay? And it was this image that sort of turned the tide of evangelization because it was the message. The image was the message. It's a little bit unique in that way where it had the symbolism. It was the language that the Aztec people understood. It had their language in it.
Mm-hmm.
Because the way that they would write was in this a codex.
Right.
So images were symbolic, and if you would maybe turn the image upside down, it would mean something else. So that's how they would tell stories, written stories. And so the image of Our Lady of Guadalupe told them everything that they needed to know about the Christian faith. And it, like I said, it turned the tide. Between 1531 and 1538, 7 years, 8 million Mexicans converted to Christianity. I mean, this image was the thing that...
It's like, wait, how many years?
Seven.
And 8 million or a million a year?
A million a year, bro. Okay?
That's a good record.
Yeah, in area which is like Mexico City.
Yeah. That rate of return is
I don't know
strong.
How many people were there, but it like... What is that, everybody?
High ROI.
Yeah, okay. I just want to get into some of the things. Like, what was it that these Mexicans were seeing? First of all, the gown that she's wearing is a specific color. There's in it colors and
it's
symbols.
Teal. It's teal.
Right? Well, no, it was brown. I don't mean her cloak.
Oh.
The gown she has under the cloak, yeah. It was this brown color, which was to them, this represented earth, and it has flowers on it, you know, that you'd mm-hmm. see on the earth. And her cloak was a very specific blue color that meant the heavens, and it had stars, okay? So here this woman is, and she's coming, behind her are clouds. She's coming almost out of the clouds with a sun, like rays of the sun behind her. Okay, so they had an expression that was just one of their colloquial expressions that when they would, when they greeted people they believed that came from God, they would say that they came among fog and clouds. So here Mary in this image comes among the clouds with the sun mm-hmm. behind her. They worship the sun god. She's blotting out the sun.
Mm-hmm.
Clearly... You know, as a way of saying, like, I am greater than this sun god that you worship. Also, under her is the moon, who was actually their, like, premier deity. It was like this feathered serpent moon god, something. So she's standing on the moon.
Feathered.
A feathered serpent moon god. It's like, wow, I see why you thought that guy sounds impressive, you know? Yeah. Like, feathered serpent, moon god, you know, like feathered serpent, that's already crazy enough.
Chicken snake.
Yeah. It's like a chicken snake volcano god. It's like, wow, those are three things I would not have put together.
Yeah.
So here she is, this woman coming out of the clouds, who is kind of the union of heaven and earth.
Right.
Okay.
Yep.
Just already by the colors. Also, the color of her gown in other parts was the color of a princess that represented royalty. And she even has cuffs. The end of her sleeves have a specific thing on them that was reserved for royalty. Okay. So right away, they can tell everything about her that she is a royal woman. And she is joining heaven and earth in her clothing. Okay. One of the most important things here, I think, is her haircut. Her hairstyle is the hairstyle of a virgin. So in their culture,
down.
Yeah. Well, I parted down the middle. So this was a hairstyle reserved for virgins. Yet she has on the belt of a pregnant woman. So when you can see the bow right there around her waist. Mm-hmm. That was something that was common, that when you were pregnant women would wear this this bow. So in the image itself, you have certain messages that go up and down, and you have other messages that you read side to side. So it's almost like the messages themselves are forming a cross.
Crossword.
Yeah. So here, crossword this up and here. Down one, you have the hair, virgin, as you come down, mother, and then right below that belt, there is one flower that is on her womb, and it is the jasmine flower, which represented divinity. So we have this virgin mother of God right here that's appearing just...
Boom, boom, boom.
Right. Obviously, that would be a conflicting... These are conflicting messages. Virgin mother. Like, hard to understand that.
Yeah.
But here, you have to remember, they're looking at this image themselves. You know, this isn't, they're not just looking at, oh, somebody painted this picture. They have the tilma right there for these people to come and see, put their hands on.
Mm-hmm.
And like, it's very, very clear that this is not painted.
Mm-hmm.
It is a miraculous image. So this was a big, I mean, think about all the catechesis that's taking place already. That we have a woman clothed with the sun. She's clearly the woman out of the book of Revelation. They didn't know that yet, but there's a lot more going on. We're not going to have time to go through everything today, but we have a lot more we can get to in this in our last segment. We're talking about Our Lady of Guadalupe. We'll be right back. Do you feel like God is calling you to go on a pilgrimage? Well, for the last 34 years, Select International Tours has been leading pilgrimages to holy sites all over the world.
And you want, when you go on pilgrimages, Dave, you want to make sure you have the best hotels, you're touring with the best guides, and every detail has been addressed.
And that's exactly what you're getting with Select International Tours. So, for more information, go to their brand new website, selectinternationaltours.com. They have been a sponsor of the Catholic Man Show for a long time now. Even during the COVID pandemic, they were still sponsoring our show. A lot of other tour companies were really shutting down. These guys were consistent. So go to selectinternationaltours.com to find out more information about all the
great... Welcome back to the Catholic Man Show.
All over the world.
I'm David Niles here with Adam Minahan. We're talking about Our Lady of Guadalupe, patron saint of the Americas and unborn children. So we're talking a little bit just about the symbolism, about how, you know, she represents the
symbology.
Symbology, thank you. Totally not a word not used enough, I think. The symbology. Actually, in my notes here, I have the word topography, which was... I was just laughing.
It's like, how... Like, that is a Catholic Man Show...
It's a deep track.
Deep track... But
it's like maybe episode 4. I don't know. It was like early, early.
But also,
for those who don't know the story,
it's also been repeated, unintentionally and intentionally.
It was very funny. Adam, we were talking about typology.
Yeah.
But Adam kept saying the word
Typography.
And typography.
Typography. Yes. And oh, that not topography, but
typography.
Typography instead of typology.
Right.
So anyway, someone finally wrote in. And I was like, yeah, so I'm pretty sure you're talking about typology. Whereas topography is like this totally, it's like this totally land. Other thing.
Yeah.
It's like when hills are taller or shorter.
Right. So but we've actually unintentionally said it several times and had people like correct us.
Yeah. Anyway, words are hard. That's what we say here in the Catholic Man Show. Words are hard. So Mary.
That's what we'll go down as.
She's got all this symbolism. Is that it?
You nailed it.
Thank you. So the flowers on there, like there's that one flower, it means divinity right over her womb. Mm-hmm. There's another flower which she has, which is the symbol of, which represents civilization or a flourishing culture. And there's this flower is twice on her, and both times the stem of the flower goes on, this is on her gown, so the gown under her cloak. The stem appears to come from out from under the cloak. So it's almost like the stem of this flower of a flourishing culture is coming out of the divinity, right? So that you have to have this connection with the divine in order for you to have this flourishing culture. It's and at the same time, the image also looks like a heart when you turn it upside down, which, you mm-hmm. know, is would have been relevant for them who are sacrificing cutting out people's hearts
they
a lot.
Were, yeah, okay? On know, the like, altar. Like, maybe they would, like...
Stop doing that.
Man, could you imagine being that dude?
No.
That would be...
Like, who's about to have your heart cut out? Or well, the dude who's doing it?
Yeah,
because they would... I mean, he'd be doing it, like, hundreds a day.
Right. And, yeah. like, they're a lot. Like, you know, this is, like, Indiana Jones style, like...
Still beating.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah.
For a little bit, for... Anyway.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. Anyway, I mean, that it would be not my preferred job.
It's not.
I would take any other job.
I have no poetic knowledge of any of this. I'm just like saying, like, this is.
So it wouldn't be
tough.
Wouldn't be my wouldn't not my preference.
I'll be a porter.
I'll also be a porter. Yeah. So it's just interesting how you see like this coming out of the divine in order for you to have this flourishing culture. One thing I wanted to mention, which you notice, it appears that her left knee is bent.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and so people have said like, oh, she's at prayer, right? Because she's almost like bending over just a little bit, so it's bending her knee, right. Like almost like in humility.
Mm-hmm.
But I just thought this was awesome. The Aztecs would not have said, oh, she's at prayer. They would have recognized that she was in the posture of the victory war dance.
Mm-hmm.
So the Aztecs, when they would win a war, had victory in battle, they would do this dance where they would kind of hop on one leg and shake their hand, like put their mm-hmm. hands together almost like they're praying, kind of shake it back and forth, and they would do this victory war dance.
If you had to create a victory war dance, what would that look like?
Dude, I don't know. I'm not ready to answer that question. That's an important question,
yes.
Okay? And I'm not going to dishonor it, but just like saying something off the top of my head.
You know the guy, you know the wacky inflatable flailing arm tubes man?
Yeah, dude.
Something like that.
It's a hard dance to do. It's really, that's a young man's dance.
Yeah, that's definitely a young man's dance.
You start doing that as an older man and you're just like, oh.
You know what, my back is out.
Throw up my shoulder. Yeah. Oh, my, someone help.
Yeah.
I need help.
Yeah.
Just that great victory, grandpa.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's awesome, right? That she has clearly, this is a woman who's
right.
presenting herself as just having conquered. Mm-hmm. In battle. Oh, also the angel at the bottom. This is interesting. There's an angel who appears to be like holding her up.
Right.
In one hand, the angel is holding onto the blue, and in the other hand, he's got the blue cloak, and in the other hand, he has her earthen
her
gown.
Yeah.
So almost like he's lifting her up as this union of both heaven and earth. But also, she, if you look at her skin tone and her facial features, she is what you call a mestiza. Okay, so at the time, there were these Spanish soldiers coming in, and they were, you know, having children with the local women without marrying them. And so this was a great a source of great shame for the locals, because these Spanish, half Mexican children were a sort of a sign of their defeat, that they had been conquered in battle. And so often the mothers would just expose their children to the wild, because it was so shameful that they were having these children. So here Mary comes in the midst of these people's shame. She represents these, you know, sort of the shame of these people, and comes to them in the midst of that to bring them this news of great hope, to bring the news, the good news of salvation. I just thought that was so beautiful. And as a victor, okay? So here, this idea of being a mestiza involved being defeated. And so here she comes bringing the victory war dance, okay? Now, I want to get to this while we still have a chance. There is music in this image. Do you know about this, Adam?
I may not.
Okay. They recently discovered there is music in this image. What a mathematician did, the stars that appear in her cloak are actually exactly in line with the real stars the night of the apparition. And the flowers on her dress actually represent the topography of the area. So like the hills...
Not typology.
The topography. See? We actually mean topography this time.
Yeah.
So it's actually like her, the flowers are the map of the area that represent, there's Tepeyac Hill and like, so it's the earth and the stars for real. And so he decided, he's like, well, if you apply the golden, if they maintain like the golden ratio and there's symmetry between these two things, basically he turned the image sideways and applied a music, clefs and simply played it. And this is what happened. This is the music in the image of Our Lady of Guadalupe. The stars and the flowers are the notes. What do you think about that? Did that blow your mind?
I would like to listen to more of it.
Okay, it keeps going. We just don't have time to keep listening to all of it. But get on YouTube and just look it up, the music of Our Lady of Guadalupe. And that's the actual... What you heard is only the notes that appear in the image from simply... playing the star, the center of the flowers and the stars represent these notes. And they just said, well, what instrument? They made it a piano and then some singing. But there is music. This is like music written by God, how he wanted to adorn his mother.
What are we doing? Like still talking? Like we should like be listening to that.
Yeah. Well, I'll play at the end. We'll play the whole thing. So, on the podcast, I'll put the whole,
yeah,
the whole audio at the end, because it's incredible. It just, when I first heard this, it gave me, I didn't know what to think. It's like, man,
also,
God doesn't miss a beat. Thank you. Right? I mean, you think you like, oh, this is what God... He just always, there's more layers every single time. It's just like...
The idea that like some guy has like had the idea of like, hey, I should just take this and like turn it sideways and like put music to it.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool in and of itself.
Right. Yes.
How creative. Even if it sounded like weird, you know, it's like... That's
it,
still...
it did kind of have like a otherworldly feel to it, but there was like... it was like, oh...
Okay.
Yeah, it was like, that is, you could totally see Mary coming in an app, and like, this is the music you're hearing, and you're like, oh my gosh!
I don't know how to respond to this.
Yeah. There's all kinds of other things in the image that you like, go and get a good YouTube video. You can actually, they looked at the eyes in the image, and actually you can see the reflection of Juan Diego, the bishop, and some of the other people.
Yeah, it's really cool.
Like, this is something that something atheists have to deal with, because it should have fallen apart hundreds and hundreds of years ago. It's a miracle that's in your face, mm-hmm. that defies science. It has freaking music. And like, praise God.
Have we put this music back forward, like perpendicular and see,
ours?
Like,
and see if it makes a picture?
Yeah.
We haven't.
We should do that.
We should try it.
We'll be right back. We're done. Check us out on the podcast.
Okay.
We should literally do that just to see what our picture looks like.
And it looks like nothing.
Yeah.
It's a picture of Jimbo Baggins.
Why is that a middle finger?
Yeah. Ooh, never mind. Undo it. Undo it, quick. Can we delete? Was that live?
Dang it.
But dude, the music, it like, that was the...
Yeah.
When I found out about the music, that was the thing. That was the final straw that said, we got to do this. We got to talk about this.
Well, let's listen to it.
Sure.
How long is it? Here, for the next 72 minutes, you should just like buckle in and just like enjoy.
Yeah. Okay.
How long?
Hang on. I think it's like 3 minutes, 3 or 4 minutes.
That seems right, because it seems like just the circumference and like the amount of fabric.
I watched it though. I was like sitting here holding the image sideways, and then at the end it gets quiet and there's just like one or two notes, and I was like, where is that? It's like, oh, sure enough. Like down here in the bottom right, there's only like one and two stars. It's like three stars at the very end in a row, no harmony. And it's like, there they are. There's the notes. It's incredible. Yeah. So, okay, let me play the whole thing, and for your listening enjoyment.
Yeah.
And just like,
enjoy.
Thank Our Lady for being your mother, and your Savior for giving her to you.
And pray for us.
Yeah.